Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Shepherd, and welcome to the Align Family Wellness exclusive patient podcast. It is my goal to educate and empower parents to raise healthy kids naturally through chiropractic care. I hope this podcast provides you with extra education and knowledge that will help you to understand more about chiropractic care and the ways we can serve you and your family here at Aligned Family Wellness. Hey everyone, I'm Dr. Kim Shepherd with Align Family Wellness. I am a pediatric and prenatal chiropractor. I am also a certified lactation professional. I have been in practice for over 22 years serving the Forsyth Indicator area. And today I'm going to be talking about colic constipation and chiropractic care. I know this is a foreign term for most of you guys, why you would take your kid to a chiropractor for colic and constipation. So hopefully I'm going to explain a lot of things and go over some reasonings behind, why your kiddo may be suffering from some of these things and what we can do in our office to help make your kiddo just feel better and thrive. Okay. So what we're going to cover, we're going to talk about what is colic. So what I find in my office is a lot of parents don't really understand what the definition of true colic is versus, just a fussy baby. We're going to define constipation. We're going to talk about how babies and kiddos actually get these conditions. What's the root cause? Why do some kids have this and some don't? And we're going to talk about how we can measure the stress in their nervous system and how chiropractic care can help with these conditions and some things you can do at home in the meantime, either, before you see us or while you're waiting to be seen or just things in emergencies that you can do at home. But it's, if you guys are used to traditional neck and back pain chiropractic, this is nervous system based chiropractic. So it's a completely different way of thinking and way of treating these conditions without medications or any other harmful treatments for these kiddos. Okay, so we're going to define colic. So what colic actually is, it's long periods of uncontrollable crying in infants that are well-fed and healthy. And these episodes last more than 3 hours. They happen for more than 3 days and for more than 3 weeks. So it is this 3-3-3 concept. So true colic is 3 hours for more than 3 days for more than 3 weeks. So this affects 1 in 4 babies. That's a lot of babies. And it's a lot of parents that are struggling and are uncomfortable and not sleeping and frustrated. And so colic is usually accompanied by some sort of reflux, some additional constipation, and usually some gas. So that's kind of why this webinar combines colic and constipation, because they're really kind of show up together a lot of times. So what are some signs and symptoms of colic? So we've got some intense crying that is more like screaming. So this is not just like, oh, my baby's upset and they're crying. It is like something's wrong and I don't know what's going on. The baby is crying for no reason. Like we said, they're not hungry. They're not overtired. They don't have a dirty diaper. And then they can have extreme fussiness even after the crying has stopped. So their major episode of crying is over, but they're still just fussy and they don't really seem happy and content. A lot of these colic episodes have predictable timing, either evenings or after they've eaten, whether it's breastfed or bottle fed, then they start getting, mad and fussy again. They can sometimes have facial discoloration or a painful look on their face. We usually see something I notice in all of my colic babies are a lot of body tension, a lot of stiffening. The babies will arch their back a lot when you're trying to hold them, or they'll throw their head back and really just kind of thrash their head around. And then they also have lots of burping or gas. And then once again, the reflux or constipation. So mom and dad, I know this is hard on you. You feel helpless and exhausted. You know something is wrong, but you can't fix it because you don't know what's going on. It makes you feel like a bad parent because you're like, why is my baby so fussy and this other baby's not? What am I doing wrong? A lot of people tell you bad advice, like they're fine, just let them cry it out. Or your pediatrician will tell you colic is normal and they will just grow out of it. So this can pose big challenges for parents. It can strain their emotional well-being. It can strain their relationship between both of the parents. So it's a really hard time for not just the kiddo, but the parents also. Okay. Let's do that again. My clicker is giving me trouble. Okay. So we are going back. Okay. So what are the causes of colic? So there's really no consensus in the medical community as to the cause. They really can't come up with any sort of answer, and they really offer little help other than maybe putting your kiddo on some kind of reflux medicine or something like that to help. They usually tell parents, don't worry about it, they'll just grow out of it. But the truth is that they will not grow out of it, that they will just grow into more problems if the colic is not fixed. So I say this all the time in my office, that kids don't grow out of things, they grow into bigger problems. So bigger problems can look like them being chronically sick all the time. They could have sleep disorders, sensory issues, ADHD, moving into constipation. You know, most of the kiddos that I see that have some sort of ADHD or sensory processing disorder had colic and constipation as a baby. So I'm telling you, if this is not fixed, if the root cause is not handled now when they're babies, they're going to have more problems later on. So now let's talk about constipation. True constipation is defined as less than three bowel movements per week. Chronic constipation can happen when they have infrequent bowel movements or difficulty passing stools that persist for several weeks or even longer. Some children can even suffer for years with constipation. And this can also happen to babies, kiddos, teens, or even adults. So 25 to 30% of kids struggle with constipation. I mean, that's just such a huge number, and we are not talking about this enough, and we are not talking about how much this is a problem when we are not, you know, voiding our stool and we are reabsorbing all of those toxins, as these kids are just not passing their bowel movements and those toxins get reabsorbed into the system. Plus, just what happens with this chronic constipation? It's uncomfortable. These kids are just really miserable, and babies too. Okay, so what are some causes of constipation? So these are some things that we can look at just in general. So obviously, we look at gluten or dairy intolerance. A lot of babies don't tolerate dairy-based formulas well, and we see a ton of constipation and gas with these dairy-based formulas. If you have an older kiddo or a teen, they're usually not getting enough fiber. They're not getting enough magnesium. Magnesium is important for over 600 functions in our body, and most of us are deficient in magnesium. A lot of kids are deficient in pre or probiotics. Their microbiome is basically destroyed, which is the, you know, like little protective layer of our gut. And so we have these good and bad bacteria that live in there. So things like chronic antibiotic use kills off all the good bacteria. And if we don't promote a good healthy flora with good healthy probiotics and prebiotics, then our microbiome is disrupted, and then we have a lot of stomach issues. And so we'll talk more about some prebiotics and probiotics later. Lack of hydration is huge. Kids do not drink enough water, and they, you know, like to drink Gatorade and, you know, juices and milk. And like we talked about, if you're constipated, dairy is something that we don't want you doing. Your kiddos, your teens, you need water. You need a lot of hydration. Hydration gives water to the stool and helps it pass easier. A lot of kids will hold their stool and they will not use the toilet when they have the urge to poop. So then that causes constipation because we are, you know, disrupting kind of that normal biological rhythm of, I need to go to the bathroom. We're holding it. Then that urge passes. Now we've got some constipation. There are a lot of meds that kids and adults are on that will cause constipation. So that is something that, you know, one of the first things, if your kiddo or yourself or your teen's on any kind of medicine, you need to check side effects and see if constipation is one of those. Just as an example for adults, Like opioids can, like pain relieving drugs, Vicodin, stuff like that can cause major, major constipation. A lot of kiddos have pelvic floor muscle weakness, or they have difficulty with coordinating their pelvic floor muscles. So it does make them have trouble going to the bathroom. And then they're holding their stool and not pooping. So pelvic floor weakness is involved. I have had a few babies with blockages in their colon, or their rectum. You know, that's something that's a medical emergency. You usually know when that's happening. So that's kind of a rare condition. There are conditions in kiddos that can cause constipation. You know, kids that have cerebral palsy, or, you know, that have, that are paraplegics. There's certain kids that just, they're not up moving around because they physically can't because they have conditions, and that will cause some constipation. But once again, very rare, in that situation. So, you know, obviously later on, we are going to talk about the nervous system cause of constipation and colic. So I don't want that to be missed here, that there is a nervous system cause, and we will go over that. But this is kind of your traditional, you know, medical or Google search on what causes constipation. So let's talk about the typical treatment that you're going to be given in your pediatrician office, if you tell them your child is constipated. So it's usually Miralax. So the main ingredient in Miralax is polyethylene glycol 3350. So what it's designed to do is to help the digestive tract hold more water, which pulls more water into the stool. So that's why we talked about hydration is so important, because we need water into our stool to pass it easier. So this artificially draws that water in to make the stool softer. So it is a powder, and you can mix it in water or juice. The dosage of Miralax is specifically designed for adults. It's a product made for adults 17 years and older. So, dangers of Miralax is the FDA has failed to approve its usage for kids under 17. And, you know, like sometimes whether things are FDA approved or not, you know, we, some of these newer vaccines and stuff, we, you know, oh, it doesn't matter, it's not FDA approved. But this product has been here long enough that it's been through enough trials that they will not approve it for use in kiddos. So that's important to note. It's not approved for kids under 17. So what we're trying to prevent, this Miralax can actually cause. So it can actually increase bloating and cramping and gas, and it could give your kid diarrhea, you know, which, yes, we're trying to move that stool, but they probably also have gas and bloating and cramping, and this can make it worse. So the polyethylene glycol also alters the body's natural process, for nutrient and fluid absorption. So, like we talked about earlier, it's artificially pulling water into the gut. So then your body gets a signal that they don't need to pull its own water into the gut. So it disrupts this process. So your body basically doesn't learn to pull water into the gut to help your stool soften, because it's happening artificially. So one of the things we see in our office is kids that have been on Miralax for long periods of time, they do have behavioral side effects. They do notice that their kids have mood swings, anger, paranoia, anxiety, and even some personality changes when they are on this medication for long periods of time because of that active ingredient, that polyethylene glycol. And Miralax still doesn't treat the root cause. It's not helping your kid to, you know, go to the bathroom on their own every day. It's just removing that one episode of constipation. So then the next day you're giving them more Miralax and more Miralax. So we want to find and treat root cause. So what if we could do that? So basically what happens is neurologic imbalance or distress in their nervous system is the root cause of constipation. So our nervous system has two sides. It's got our fight or flight and our rest and digest mode. When the nervous system is stuck in this fight or flight protective mode, it is not resting, digesting, and relaxing. And we find that a lot of kids are stuck in this fight or flight protective mode. So when the nervous system is protecting itself, it impacts the gut. So it conserves energy for the skeletal muscles, because your body thinks you're being chased by a bear, so you're going to need those skeletal muscles ready to run. So it pulls energy away from the digestive tract. And so it doesn't digest food because it's giving all of its energy to the skeletal muscles. And so then that leaves the baby constipated, fussy, colicky because they are in this stressed out fight or flight mode. So this can affect their eating, their sleeping, and their pooping. And then when these are all affected, then they get fussy and this colic sets in. So we want to talk about the vagus nerve. And I'm going to try to move my picture. Sometimes this works, sometimes it doesn't. So we're going to talk about the vagus nerve and its importance in this because the vagus nerve is our 10th cranial nerve. So it's the longest, most intricate nerve in our entire body. It's called the wandering nerve because it runs from the upper neck all the way down to the thorax and abdomen and goes to the stomach. And so it's this yellow nerve that we see. I know you guys can't see me pointing, so I'll try to get my arrow. So vagus nerve is here and it comes all the way down, all this yellow nerve, all the way down to the tummy, to the anterior superior surface of the stomach. So it's our resting and digest nerve. So it's a sensory nerve. It reports back to the brain. So if you guys have ever heard the gut-brain connection, this is how the brain and the gut talk through the vagus nerve. And so this nerve is so important in our lives and in so many functions in our body, but especially related to constipation and colic. So what we're going to talk about next is some tough things because we're going to talk about how this vagus nerve gets stressed. And so what I want to say to you is, we're going to talk about birth trauma. And I don't want to trigger any of you. I want you to know that, whether your birth went as you wanted or as you didn't want, some of these pictures are, just a little bit hard to look at, but I want the impact to be there for, even with the best births, sometimes babies' vagus nerve can be stressed. And, whether it was your fault or not, I'm not putting blame on you. I'm just kind of showing you what does happen in these birthing situations, and why it's so important for your kiddo to be checked early on after, birth and delivery so that we can fix these things. So, okay. So let's talk about a vacuum delivery. So in a vacuum delivery, anywhere between almost 4 pounds of pressure and 32 pounds of pressure are used as they come down and put this vacuum on the baby's head to pull the baby out. So if this vacuum pops off of their head, that is about 70 pounds of pressure every time that pops off. So when you come into our office and we talk to you about your birth, we kind of want to know, was it a vacuum delivery? And how many times did that vacuum pop off of the baby's head? Because we kind of add up all of these pounds of pressure and start looking at their neck to see, did we have some stress in their neck? And you can kind of see how this baby is being pulled out. Neck is being stretched a little bit, almost into extension. And that would be with even a normal delivery. There is 29 pounds of force for every push that you have in a normal delivery. And, so a lot of times we'll ask you, how long did you push? Or how many pushes did you have? Because even if you had a great birth and you're like, I pushed twice, that was almost 60 pounds of force on that baby's neck and shoulders, and head during just that two pushes in delivery. So it's not necessarily, nothing has to be traumatic, but I just want you to see the pressure that's involved in these deliveries. So a forceps delivery, which we don't see a ton, is where they grab the head and kind of pull the baby out that way. That can be between 56 and 69 pounds of pressure during a forceps delivery, which is incredible. But also we say how your baby bakes or births has everything to do with, kind of if they're going to be stressed when they come out or not. So if they are in any kind of breech position, so these are some different breech positions. We've got Frankfurt breech, we've got footling breech where their foot comes out first, or they're laying transverse your whole pregnancy, or sorry, Or if they are what's called, complete breech, where their butt's kind of stuck down. I mean, look at this kiddo's neck. You can see his head is being, kind of smushed sideways during this whole time. Depending on when baby became breech, he could be sitting here for weeks and weeks and weeks. Look at the Frank baby's neck. I mean, it's squished down into flexion and really can aggravate that neck and shoulders when that baby's head is down. So, as they're baking, as they're growing inside of you, these malpositions can cause some stress on their neck and shoulders. So, C-section. So, this is, a picture of a C-section. Babies are pulled out by their neck, and you can kind of see how much torsion is being used on this baby's neck. They are being pulled out from basically base of that skull. It can be 100 pounds of force that is being pulled as they come out of that uterus in a C-section. They also don't get to come down the vaginal birth canal, so we don't get a lot of cranial molding. We don't get good vaginal microbiome. We don't get, just any of those forces that kind of push through the birth canal. So my C-section babies are ones that I want to see right away because we see a lot of issues in their upper neck. They have trouble with feeding, nursing. Usually they're a little bit early, premature, 37, 38, 39 weeks. So they are really going to struggle with nursing issues. They just don't have the cranial molding and just some of the good flora. So we do see them being a little bit more colicky and have more constipation because their microbiome is not as complete as we want it to be through a vaginal birth. So physical or emotional stress during pregnancy also can leave the nervous system stuck in a fight or flight mode, and that can affect the newborn baby. So your umbilical cord is the power cord from you to the baby. The baby is absorbing your nutrients, it's absorbing your toxins, it's also absorbing your emotional stress in your nervous system. And so, if you are a mom, I saw this a lot in COVID where everyone was stressed, but especially moms were stressed, pregnant moms, because you didn't know how you were going to deliver, who was going to be in the delivery room, all the things. Everybody was just so stressed. COVID babies are some of the most stressed babies I've ever seen, because mom was so stressed in those days of her pregnancy. So we just know sometimes things are out of our control. Stress doesn't go away, but how we can handle our stress and how our nervous system handles stress can be helped through chiropractic care during pregnancy. And that's why we want mamas under care as soon as possible so that their nervous system is in a great place for baby when they get ready to give birth. So, how do we find if your baby's stressed? Your baby can't tell us. They're not going to say, "Hey, mom, I'm a little stressed out." So, what we do in our special neurologic chiropractic care is we aim to address the root cause of the problem. We don't want to mask what is happening with your child. We want to treat it and have it go away forever. So, when we relieve the root problem, we set your child up for success rather than applying just a temporary fix, like giving them a medication or something like that. So we can measure the amount of stuck stress in you, mom, your older kids, or your new baby in their child's nervous system using our InSight scan technology. We do this as little as a 2-day-old baby. It's safe. It has no emissions, no radiation. And so we do have three InSight scans. So one is HRV, which is heart rate variability, the neurothermal, which is what Laura is showing here on this kiddo. Newborn babies don't get this scan because they, no, I'm sorry, this is the postural energy scan. So newborn babies don't get this one because they don't have posture and they don't sit up on their own. So the neurothermal, I have a picture of that later. That one actually checks for spinal nerves. Postural energy checks for muscle imbalance. So it tells us three things. It will tell us if there is some stuck stress, where the stuck stress is at, and how much stuck stress is there, because we actually can measure it and have some numbers. So this is one of our cute little kiddos getting an HRV done. So this is a little ear clip that we just clip to their ear. Usually newborns all get the ear clip if their earlobes are big enough. And so she's just chilling and just getting her HRV done. So this is what a typical HRV scan report looks like. So if you look at this like traffic signals, we've got green, yellow, red. Green is go. Green is great. We've got zone 5 here in the box. That's where we want everyone, especially kiddos and newborn babies. Then we got yellow, which is caution, and we are getting into some stress zones. Red is, hey, we're in big trouble here. And then this one's get out the paddles, your nervous system is trashed. So we've got 5 zones, and they're all cut up here in the graph. So this is not her HRV, but this child's HRV. They are below the center line in zone 3, and we are here on the yellow into the red. So this kiddo is going to need a lot of care. They are stressed. They are in zone 3, which is our worn, they're worn out, but they are wound up. So this is easily a colicky baby who's fussy, really stressed out. And so, these give me a bunch of numbers, and I look at this scan, but this tells me that this baby is not handling. Their nervous system's not handling stress well. They should be up here in the green. So I'm sure this kiddo is colicky, fussy, not nursing well, not doing good at all. So our neurothermal scan, which is really cool, it runs down the spine, and we are looking for just temperature differences on one side of the spine versus the other. So we can have red is significant, blue is moderate, green is mild. So you can see in this person, they have a lot of significant stuff going on in their upper cervical region, the C2, C3, and some moderate in C1. So they also have a little bit of what we call counter rotation. C1's going this way, C2's going this way. So this is where the vagus nerve lives in this C1 area. So this is telling me, like, okay, this kiddo has some major stuff going on their left side of their neck. They're going to be struggling with either nursing to that side, turning their head to that side, could possibly have some ear issues on that side, not draining well, congestion. They're pretty fussy. They're just really struggling. So if we were looking more at constipation, that is down here in the lumbar spine. So we would see some red and blue light up down here in the lumbar spine with constipation, because that's where the nerves run to the gut, to the stomach, is down here in this lower lumbar spine. So the scans tell me everything I need to know, along with your birth history. And so we can put a good plan together looking at these scans, and they give us a score on 0 to 100 and just kind of let us know where you or your kiddo falls in that range. So once we perform the scans, we create a custom care plan for your child. So everybody's different, everybody's story is different, every kid is different, every parent's, schedule is different. So we want to know what your goals are, and we want to match your goals and make sure that we are a team and that we are, working together to accomplish your goals. And so we sit down on your second visit with the scans. We go over the scans. We talk through, kind of how many visits we think this is going to take, how long it's going to take. We care plan everything out for you. And we do this for multiple reasons. One, we want you to commit to us because we are committing a huge block of time for you. And if you commit to saying, I'm in this, I want to get my kiddo better, we want to create a care plan so you know exactly what to expect. There is no week to week, let's see how you do, come back maybe. No, with these scans, with my clinical experience, I know exactly how many treatments it's going to take to get your kiddo better. And we plan those out and we formulate a plan. We set up your ideal schedule, your ideal time of day, who can bring the baby, who's going to be here for the treatment. We set up cost upfront. Understand this is a financial investment. Health is an investment, and I need you to be willing to make that investment in you or your child. We need to normalize making health a priority. And understand that, this is a financial investment, and we are going to make it as easy on you as possible by creating, giving you different ways that you can make payments and set up automatic payments and Really just help you make it affordable. We also do not bill insurance because basically it is not affordable for us to bill insurance and to pay someone to bill your insurance company. We don't get paid a lot of money, guys. We cannot afford to have a full-time biller to argue with Blue Cross and fight for money. And so we support you because we know you have insurance with giving you a super bill, which allows you to turn all of your care into your insurance company so that they can reimburse you directly. That allows us to keep costs down. It allows us to treat multiple family members at discounted rates. It allows us to, give discounted exams if we need to. It gives us a lot of freedom and flexibility to get full families under care where we are not bound by the rules of the insurance companies if we were to bill insurance. So you can get a reimbursement from your insurance company, and that is something we help you with along the way. So, how chiropractic care helps? We remove the stuck stress from the spine using gentle, safe, and effective adjustments. We unwind and release the stress and tension built up in your baby or your kiddo's nervous system. So I know you as a parent, you're nervous bringing your kid in. You've seen the TikTok videos on, people cracking and popping other people. Understand that pediatric adjusting is a skill and it's an art and it takes extra training. We only use the amount of pressure that you would use to test like a tomato or an avocado at this grocery store or to press on your eyelid. Once you start to feel the pressure on your eye, that's the only amount of tension we are using to adjust your baby. So we are trying to help stimulate that parasympathetic nervous system, which is our rest and digest nervous system. We have specific and extensive training in pediatric adjusting. We are skilled. We have the technique. We have the knowledge. We specialize in this, and that is why we only treat babies, kiddos, and moms. We are not everyone's chiropractor for everything. We specialize in what we do, and we are very good at it. But we also know that, we treat what we treat, and we refer out if you've got a grandma or a grandpa or a dad that wants treatment. We refer those situations out because we know we are very good at treating babies, kiddos, and mamas, and so that's what we stick to. So let's talk about some stuff you can do at home. So say you're far away from me and you can't get in to see me, or you just want to have some stuff on hand. So when your baby has colic, we want you to keep your baby upright after feeding for at least 20 minutes. So that can help with their weak sphincter and some of that reflux stuff coming up. And so if you keep them upright, that helps. So there is some homeopathy. It's called Natfos, and that helps for reflux and colicky babies. I love this earthly tummy relief. We sell this in the office. It's better than gripe water because it has organic ginger root, organic fennel seed, organic catnip. It's just some vegetable glycerin and a little bit of filtered water. And so it helps with that gas pain and that fussiness. Obviously, the biggest thing for colic is upper neck adjustments and cranial work because of those birth issues and the way these babies come out at birth. They need a lot of upper neck and cranial work. So constipation, we are going to remove these things from the diet. We are going to remove dairy, processed foods, fast food, artificial sugar, and sugary beverages. Obviously, these are for kiddos that are, on table food and eating things. We want to clean up their diet and give them good, healthy foods that aren't going to harm their gut. So some foods to add to their diet that are good. Ground flax seeds are amazing. You can hide them in a lot of things and your kiddo won't even know that they are there. You can mix it in applesauce. You can put it in pasta sauce. You can put it in, like muffin mixes, pancake mixes, smoothies. So you can just, kind of blend them in and that gives a lot of extra fiber. But it's just a fine powder. And so it's hardly recognizable in anything. Some good foods to give kids who have constipation. And I understand a lot of your kids with constipation are picky eaters, but it is your job as a parent to provide good, healthy foods for them and to expose them. It can take up to 21 times for your child to be exposed to a food and decide they like it. So keep presenting good foods, keep offering, don't give up, mom and dad. So sweet potatoes, oats, beans, avocado. You'll hear me say this all the time in the office. Fruits that start with P, peaches, pears, plums, prunes, are all great for helping them poop. So those are easy to remember. Raspberries, blueberries, and blackberries are great fiber sources. Kiwi is a great fiber source. And obviously apples, but apples with the skin, pears with the skin also give extra fiber. So if you need some extra help, if your kiddo's really struggling, I want you to try some of these things. So you're going to give them a glass of warm water in the morning. And that just helps to get their digestive system flowing, kind of pushing some extra hydration in. And that warm water really helps the bowels move a little bit easier. If you can squeeze a little bit of lemon in for detoxification, if they like a little bit of lemon water. Chia seeds, I love chia seeds in things, yogurts, applesauces, you can smoothies, but you can soak chia seeds just a teaspoon overnight. It gets a little kind of tapioca-like. Chia seeds kind of puff up a little bit. And so if they'll just take that teaspoon of those soft seeds, those are really, really great for fiber. Raisins are great too, but if you want them to be soft, you can soak the raisins overnight. 4 to 5 raisins, you can cut them up and have them be almost like a soft little fruit snack. One of my favorites is the 2 dried plums at night before bed. Or I'm sorry, 2 dried prunes, same thing, plums, prunes. So if you cut up the prunes into small little pieces, they almost look like little fruit snacks. They do taste actually really good. And they can have 1 to 2 prunes at night before bed. And that just kind of helps them be able to have a bowel movement in the morning. Psyllium husk powder, you can put that in smoothies and drinks and things like that. That's just another fiber-based powder that is way better for them. Has good fiber in it versus like the Benefiber stuff. I don't even know what's really in those things, but these are much better, healthier options. So at-home remedies for constipation. This is a lot of stuff that we do in our office, and these are actually like in my Fullscript account. So this is the QR code that you can scan with your camera. Just open up your camera and hold it up to this QR code, and it will take you to my Fullscript account. So these are all in there under constipation. So we want to get them on a good probiotic because we talked about how probiotics are great for the stomach. Homeopathy that seems to work really, really well for kids, and you can give homeopathy to even babies. Alumnia, Borania, and Nux Vomica are actually the three that we recommend in our office that do a great job with helping bowel movements. Magnesium lotion rubbed on their belly at night. We use Earthly magnesium good night lotion, which is a magnesium lotion. I use it every night. I love it just, to kind of get some extra magnesium in our system, especially for kids that don't, swallow pills yet and need that extra magnesium. Castor oil belly massage can kind of help move some of that stool through if you want to massage the belly using castor oil. So all this stuff is linked in my Fullscript account, so you have access to that and can grab that if you're not local. Obviously, I'm going to say adjustments, adjustments, adjustments. And if you talk to my patients, you will know that, if their kids go a few weeks without seeing me, they're like, hey, I know we need that adjustment. My kiddo needs to poop. Sacrum and low back is where I work for kiddos that have constipation. And once they are adjusted, I warn you, they will go home and have a blowout. So, that is something that we warn parents of. They will poop, and they will poop a lot after we adjust them, which is what you want when you're coming in for constipation. So what do you do next? What's the next step? So if your child has constipation, colic, or any of these, kind of nervous system-based issues, reach out to us, schedule an appointment. Let's get your kiddo scanned. We have an online patient registration link on our website that I'll put up here in a second. We can help you determine underlying issues, irritations, or blockages within your child's nervous system using our insight scans. And we will talk you through that and show you everything. We know we can help your kiddo with colic and constipation. We see kids every day with these issues, and we help their parents be able to rest and sleep at night, and these kiddos being able to thrive. So if you have questions, don't hesitate to contact us. We will answer any questions over the phone. You can DM us on Instagram or Facebook. Our mission statement is to educate and empower parents to raise healthy families naturally to achieve lifelong wellness through chiropractic care. Our mission is to have every baby be seen after birth, to have these babies adjusted, to have them continue into care throughout their childhood, throughout their teenage years, into adulthood, so we can see them, get pregnant and raise the next generation of healthy chiropractic families. Here's our Gmail. If you have questions, you want to email us, our phone number. Follow us at Aligned Family Wellness Chiro on Instagram. If you have questions on what does an adjustment look like, what does our office look like, you get a tour of first day, you get a tour of second day. We have a ton of information on our Instagram page. We also have Facebook, Aligned Family Wellness Chiropractic and Acupuncture. You can find us on Facebook and like our page. I just want to thank you for attending this webinar. I appreciate you taking time out of your busy day to learn more about the root cause of chiropractic care with constipation and colic. This is a passion of mine to educate you parents, to let you know there are other ways. And I'm just so thankful that you took the time to at least, be open to hearing some of these situations. And if there's anything we can do for you or your family, we would absolutely just love to care for you and care for your family. So please reach out to us. We hope to see you soon. Thank you.